Praise the Lord. Glory to God. You know, I just love the Word of God. How many of you love the Word of God? It contains the answers to all questions of life. And no matter how many people try to put it down, change what it says, try to modernize it, try to say it's out of date, it doesn't matter. The Word of God is true. Let God be true. Every man a liar. I thank God you can depend on the Word of God. Amen. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And His Word is true today. I saw a debate going on between some Bible illiterates on Facebook, wondering why people could believe that God, that some scriptures have double meaning. You know, you read some things in the Old Testament and you read some things even in the New Testament. There are things that God said that had application for that day and future application, yet still haven't come to pass in what He said. Well, I don't understand that. That's why He's God and you're not. He knows how to do that. Amen. Plus, God, have you ever thought about this about God? God speaks of future events as if they were present tense reality. He talks about future events like they're done. There's no question. There's no discussion need to be had about it. It's a done deal. Amen. Look at Ephesians chapter 1 with me tonight. I kind of like to start every sermon right here. Amen. Somebody asked me, I was out this weekend, how many weeks does it take you to get out of the first chapter of Ephesians when you're teaching the class? That's like how many licks does it take to get to the center of a Tootsie Pop? 1, 2, 3. It takes about 3 weeks to get out of the first chapter. Got any students that can testify to that? About 3 weeks, doesn't it? I try, but I just can't. It's too good. But let's start in verse 15. I'm going to read this from the King James Bible just to get started tonight. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Let's stop there for just a moment. Every time we go to the Word of God, we ought to be believing God for a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Him who? God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So tonight we're believing for that. Amen? Revelation. Revelation. No matter what subject you're studying, you know, sometimes in teaching this, you go, there's three things here that Paul specifically mentions, but really these three things cover just about every, broadly cover every subject that there is that we really need to know about. But there's a lot more than just three subjects we need to know about. But revelation concerning those things, it takes wisdom to walk in the knowledge that you have. How do I apply what I know? Amen. You know, there's probably all of us that have knowledge of certain things we don't have the wisdom to apply in our everyday life. How many of you took math classes? A lot of you already getting ahead of me here. But there was knowledge they taught that you didn't and still don't have the wisdom to apply. But you know, there's people out there applying all that mathematical information today. And a lot of, you know, think about it. You got your devices, it's all math that did all this. Praise the Lord. Well, there's a lot of folks, and we don't want to be one of them, but I don't want to have so much Bible knowledge I don't have any wisdom to apply it. This Word of God is for us to live. Amen. It's not just a book on my shelf. It's not just something, you know, that I mark verses, but I mark these verses because I want to live by these verses. Glory to God. Now, what I want to center on in this message is the first part of verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. The understanding here, obviously, there's two places of understanding. First of all, spiritual understanding. but then also in our soul, our mind, and our emotions. Our mind and our emotions, our soul, our will. That you may know, everybody say that I may know, what is the hope of his calling. I want to talk tonight about Bible hope a little bit. Talk about that subject of hope. You know, when you look up that the word hope in the Bible, the word that was used from the Greek language means this. It means confident expectation. Sometimes we've made the English word hope, we've made it mean I wish. A wish. But no, and it's not even a desire. We've watered that down. But Bible hope and Bible desire is something that you confidently expect to happen. And in fact, it carries with it the idea of you're joyful about it. A confident expectation with a joyful element with it. What is the hope of his calling? Well, God operates in hope. Now, let me say this. Hope is future tense. Hope is future tense. But without hope, you can't have faith. And we'll see that in a minute. You've got to have something like of hope. Hope is like a blueprint, if you will, that points us to what it is we desire. Okay? Hope. Bible hope. And so many, you know, it's a shame. Go to Hebrews 6, and we'll look there. But so many people, even Christians, seem to live a hopeless life. Now, how can I tell if I'm lacking hope? Where's your joy level? Where's your joy level? Amen. Well, you're deficient in hope. How many of you found out when this COVID thing came out, you might have had a vitamin D deficiency? You needed to up your vitamin D. Well, they told us we couldn't drink vitamin D milk anymore, so, you know, had to do something. We're taking, you know, more supplements than are allowed by law, I think, sometimes. But you can be deficient in areas. Well, if you don't have joy, I'm just going to tell you right now, I can almost diagnose it for you biblically. You're not operating in Bible hope. Hope. All right. Look what it says here in Hebrews chapter 6. We're going to read from verse 11 down here. And we'll read it from several translations. First of all, King James Bible. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. How long should we keep hope until the end? Glory to God. Full assurance. Full assurance. That's bringing that confidence aspect in it. That's really putting faith with hope to the end here. That you be not slothful or lazy, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. Who can God, I mean, if you put God on the witness stand, can he say, I swear I'm telling you the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you me, I guess. I mean, who's he going to swear by? He can swear, there's no greater. So he just swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless you, multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability, that means the unchangeableness of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable or two unchanging things in which it was impossible for God to lie. God's promise and then his oath that he would do it, both are true. It's impossible for God to lie. All right? He said, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Now remember, hope is always out in front of you. It's something that's always out in front of you. The entire Old Testament is a book of hope. If you read the Old Testament and all you get out of it is the law, you're missing the point of the Old Testament. It's a hope looking forward to the Messiah. It's looking forward to the cross and the resurrection. Amen. And then In the New Covenant, the New Testament, we lay hold upon hope by faith. What hope is promised, we lay hold on and possess it through faith. He goes on to say, the hope set before us, which hope, now the King James adds the word hope, but it's obviously that's the subject here, which we have, notice this, as an anchor of the soul. Now don't let so many Bible teachers, bless their hearts, they don't divide spirit and soul correctly, and I think here we have to. He's talking about our soul here, not our spirit. Our hope, your born again spirit doesn't need anchored. You got Christ, you got the Holy Spirit in it. But my mind and my emotions and my will need an anchor. Because I mean the wind's blowing, the floods are coming, I mean the boat's rocking. I need something to anchor me, and what does that is Bible hope. So anytime, if you don't have joy or you're in despair, you're wringing your hands, I don't know what's going on, then I can tell you this, you need to get a hold of some Bible hope. All right? And we're going to see where that comes from. But this hope we have as an anchor of our soul, it will anchor my thoughts, my thought life. It will anchor my emotions. Bible hope, glory to God, anchor me, hold me in place. When life, because life, listen, the wind's not going to stop blowing, folks. Right? 1 Craig 10:10, John 10:10, thief comes but for to steal, comes not but for to do what? Steal, kill, and destroy. He's going to keep on doing that until he's in the pit. That's what he does. So that's going to keep coming. You can't get to a place where you got so much faith, the devil's not going to try you. Think about that. Does anybody have more faith than Jesus when he was on the earth? Did the devil try him? Absolutely. Well, just get ready. It's all right, but we can defeat him the same way Jesus did. It is written. It is written. It is written. Glory to God. He goes on here to say, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. Notice this, both sure and steadfast, which enters into that within the veil. Oh my goodness. Whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Now he's not talking about that earthly veil of the Holy of Holies. Jesus took his blood into the very heavenly Holy of Holies and cleansed it to deliver mankind the hope of salvation. That hope enters in within the veil, the very holiest of all. Woo. Hope is a holy thing. Hope, why would you ever tell me, don't get your hopes up? No, you want your hope high. Amen. Get your hope up. Glory to God. Listen to the Message Bible. Verse 11. Now I want each of you to extend that same intensity toward a full-bodied hope. Listen, don't put up with a malnourished hope or an out-of-shape hope. Exercise it. Feed it. Full-bodied hope, he said, and keep it till the finish. Don't drag your feet. Be like those who stay the course with committed faith and then get everything promised to them. I like that. When God made his promise to Abraham, he backed it to the hilt, putting his own reputation on the line. He said, I promise that I will bless you with everything I have. Bless and bless and bless. Abraham stuck it out and got everything he'd been promised to him. When people make promises, they guarantee them by appeal to some authority above them, so that if there's any question, then they'll make good on the promise. The authority will back them up. When God wanted to guarantee his promises, he gave his word, a rock solid guarantee. God can't break his word. And because his word cannot change, the promise is likewise unchangeable. We who have run for our very lives to God have every reason to grab the promised hope with both hands and never let go. Amen. I had somebody ask me one time, well, what do you think of eternal security? I don't think about it. I'm holding on with both hands. I'm not letting go. I'm not looking for my way out. He said, He said there, both hands and never let go. It's an unbreakable spiritual lifeline, reaching past all appearance right to the very presence of God. I don't care what it looks like on the outside. The hope that's on the inside of us, hallelujah, is an unbreakable spiritual lifeline. He said, where Jesus running ahead of, reaching past all appearance, right to the very presence of God, where Jesus, running on ahead of us, has taken up his permanent post as high priest for us in the order of Melchizedek. Ooh, glory to God. All right, the passion, verse 18. Start there. So it is impossible for God to lie, for we know that his promise and his vow will never change. And now we have run into his heart to hide ourselves in his faithfulness. This is where we find his strength and comfort. For he empowers us to seize what has already been established ahead of time, an unshakable hope. We have this certain hope like a strong, unbreakable anchor holding our souls to God himself. Glory to God. Our anchor of hope is fastened to the mercy seat, which sits in the heavenly realm beyond the sacred threshold. And where Jesus, our forerunner, has gone in before us, he is now and forever our royal priest, like Melchizedek. This anchor, the Word of God, the hope of God, the God of all hope, hallelujah. The Word of hope anchors us to the very heavenly holy of holies. We're not anchored to some changeable thing here on earth. We're anchored to God's very throne. Unmovable, unshakable, immutable, unchanging God. That hope. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1. Hallelujah. You know, everybody in this world is looking for this hope. They're all searching for it. They're trying to find it any way they can. Some of them have given up, and they're trying to escape reality. They're putting all kinds of things into their body, trying to alter their, you know, their experience, trying to get it because they don't find hope. But praise God if you can get them to God. And if they'll just do what the Word of God says. And they'll just hold on. Having done all to stand, stand therefore. Have a little patience, glory to God. It shall come to pass. Hallelujah. It shall come to pass. 1 Peter 1:13. He said, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. See, your mind is part of your soul. Be sober and hope to the end. For the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now I want to say something. Yes, he's talking about Jesus appearing. Yes, but every time you get a revelation of who Jesus Christ is, grace comes with it. Hold on to it. Let hope anchor you to that promise of grace. Amen. Faith is what says that grace is provided and I'm taking possession of it now. But hope says I'm going to have that. It's still out there and I'm going to get it when the time comes. Don't let go of it. Let it anchor. Let it take your mind. Gird up the loins of your mind. Tie it up tight. Don't let it out. Look at Ephesians chapter 2 now. Hallelujah. I'm going to look up something. Guys, I put King James on there twice. I think I want to look at it in the message one time, if you don't mind. But let's read it from the King James Bible. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. All right, let's look at this from the King James Bible. First of all, it says, wherefore remember that you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision, in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were. Now notice, he's talking about what we were. If you're in Christ, this is talking about what you were. You were, he said, without Christ. How many of you know I'm not without Christ now? You're not without Christ now. Being an alien from the commonwealth of Israel. I'm not a foreigner to God's family and God's country any longer. I'm a full resident. Now, when I say you just jump in there for yourself, right? And strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Now, you know, you hear a lot of things people put forth as to why people don't have any hope. There's only one reason why people don't have hope. They don't have God in their world. The God of the Bible. The God of all hope. The God of glory. Amen. And they don't know what His Son, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, has done for them and is doing on their behalf at the right hand of God right now. Having no hope without God in this world. I mean, you can give every material blessing you can think of to a person without hope and without God, and they'll still be hopeless. Because that's not where it comes from. Listen to I closed it up. I was getting ready to read it in the Message Bible. He says this. He said, don't take any of this for granted. It was only yesterday that you were outsiders to God's ways. Had no idea of any of this. Didn't know the first thing about the way God works. Hadn't the faintest idea of Christ. You knew nothing of that rich history of God's covenants and promises in Israel. Hadn't a clue about what God was doing in the world at large. I like it. That's having no hope and without God. Finally, the passion here. Said, don't forget that you were not born as Jews and were uncircumcised. Circumcision itself is just a work of man's hands. You had none of the Jewish covenants and laws. You were foreigners to Israel's incredible heritage. You were without the covenants and prophetic promises of the Messiah, the promised hope, and without God. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. That we've been grafted in. Hallelujah. The Amplified Classic in verse 12 says this. Remember that you were at that time separated, living apart from Christ, excluded from all part in Him, utterly estranged. And remember, this is our past. This is not our present. So if this is the past, we have exactly opposite of this now. Utterly estranged and outlawed from the rights of Israel as a nation. And strangers with no share in the sacred compacts of the Messianic promise, with no knowledge of it or right in God's agreements, His covenants, and you had no hope, no promise, you were in the world without God. But thank God I'm not that way any longer. Hallelujah. I'm not separated. I am living in union with Christ. I'm not excluded from any part of Him. I'm not estranged or outlawed from God. The promise belongs to me. Look at Romans chapter 4. Praise the Lord. You know, there's so much that can be said. You ought to go back sometime and look in the book of Psalm and the book of Proverbs and read all the scriptures that talk about hope. Go back in there and just read them and let it rebuild. The world tries to drag the hope out of you, tries to take the courage out of you. At night before you go to bed, just read those verses. Read them, glory to God. Let the courage of God, let the hope of God. Go to bed in hope, amen? Hallelujah. Add your faith to it. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 4, verse 17 says, as it is written, I have made thee the father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God who quickens the dead and calls those things which be not as though they were, who against hope, now he's talking about Abraham here, believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Now listen, being fully persuaded that what he had promised, that's the hope, he was able also to perform. Excuse me. Now this, in these verses here, we get an understanding. Where does hope come from? It comes from God's Word. Amen. When you read the Word of God, and it says in Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5, that by His stripes you're healed. You read in Matthew 8, 16 and 17, that this Jesus healed to fulfill that which is spoken by Isaiah the prophet, Himself carried our pains and bore our sicknesses. You read 1 Peter 2, 24 again, that by His stripes we were healed. You read that, it begins to paint a picture in you, on the inside, down on the inside of you, and in your mind, and in your emotions, of you being well in your body, of you being well and delivered from anything that has. It starts to paint a picture in there. If you'll just stay and let the divine artist paint the strokes of you with what He said He'd give you, if you'll stay with it, it will come to pass. Amen. Hallelujah. Because someday you're going to quit saying, one day I'm healed, and you're going to say, I'm healed today, right now, it's mine. Glory to God. I heard someone say one time, you've got to see it before you can have it. Well, hope is the eyeglass. It's the magnifying glass from the Word of God. Listen to what the Passion says here, verse 17. That's what the Scripture means when it says, I have made you the father of many nations. He's our example and father. For in God's presence, He believed that God can raise the dead and called into being things that don't exist yet. Against all odds, when it looked hopeless. Now remember, Abraham's 100 years old basically. Sarah's 90 years old. She can't have kids. He can't have kids. Against all odds, when it looked hopeless, Abraham believed the promise and expected God to fulfill it. He took God at His word. Let me say that again. He took God at His word. Well, you know, if I'm going to get Abraham's results, I got to do what Abraham did. This isn't written in here to glorify Abraham. This is written in here to tell me Abraham was just like me. If I'll take God at His word, I'll have what His word said. Abraham believed the promises of God and expected God to fulfill it. He took God at His word, and as a result, he became the father of many nations. God's declaration over him came to pass. Excuse me. Your descendants will be so many that they will be impossible to count. Whew. In spite of being nearly 100 years old, when the promise of having a son was made, his faith was so strong that it could not be undermined by the fact that he and Sarah were incapable of conceiving a child. He never stopped believing God's promise, for he was made strong in his faith to father a child. And because he was mighty in faith and convinced that God had all the power needed to fulfill his promise, Abraham glorified God. How do you know you're living in Bible hope? You're giving glory to God. In the midst, it doesn't matter what's going on, you're giving glory to God. Hallelujah. Therefore, think about that. I mean, it took 9 months for that baby to be born. You know he was glorifying God, but he was glorifying God before she ever found out she was pregnant. Amen? Hallelujah. The Message Bible says this. We call Abraham father not because he got God's attention by living like a saint, but because God made something out of Abraham when he was a nobody. Isn't that what we've always read in the Scripture? God saying to Abraham, I've set you up as a father of many peoples. Abraham was first named father and then became a father because he dared to trust God to do what only God could do, raise the dead to life with a word, make something out of nothing. Ooh, man. Hallelujah. 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 I mean, God's word will make something out of your nothing. Amen. Excuse me. When everything was hopeless, Abraham believed anyway, deciding not to live not on the basis of what he saw he couldn't do, but on what God said he would do. And so he was made a father of a multitude of peoples. God himself said to him, you're going to have a big family, Abraham. Abraham didn't focus on his own impotence and say it's hopeless. This 100-year-old body could never father a child, nor did he survey Sarah's decades of infertility and give up. I like this next one. You ready? He didn't tiptoe around God's promise, asking cautiously skeptical questions. He plunged into the promise, came up strong, ready for God. Whoo, glory to God. Hallelujah. Come on now. sure that God would make good on what he had said. Now turn over there to Hebrews chapter 11. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, hope will do it as a powerful motivator. I know we won't turn to 1 John 3 talking about, you know, we don't know what he's like, but we know that when we see him, we'll be like him. And then John went on to say, and whoever has this hope in him purifies himself, gets himself ready. Hallelujah. We're not going, Jesus is coming back for a glorified church. We're not going to the wedding all dirtied and tattered and smelling like smoke and fire. We're going in there glorious. Amen. But you got to have this hope set before you. Amen. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I like some of these others. Listen to the Amplified Classic. Now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of the reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. See, hope doesn't operate out in this sense realm. It doesn't operate according to what I can see. It doesn't operate according to what I hear, what I feel, what I taste, what I touch. It doesn't operate in this natural realm. Hope is a spiritual force. Hope is alive. Now abides faith, hope, and love. We know the greatest is love, but did you realize he didn't rank faith and hope? Man has ranked faith and hope. No, faith and hope work together, glory to God. Amen? He says, in the Passion says, now faith brings our hopes into reality and becomes the foundation needed to acquire things we long for. It's all the evidence. That hope, that promise, that's all the evidence I need. God cannot lie. He promised it and he gave his word that he fulfill it. He will not lie. It's all the evidence required to prove what is still unseen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The hope of God. God's hope. I'm looking for a verse that I've just impressed the Lord here. Hang on just a second. Let me find this. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Turn over to Romans chapter 15. Turn over there to Romans chapter 15. Glory to God. This idea, the other aspect that about hope that's standing out to me here recently is the fact that it's so connected with joy. 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 I said joy. Glory to God. Joy. So connected to joy. And the word joy comes from the same root word where we get the word grace. Hallelujah. And by grace are we saved through faith. Woo, glory to God. Pastor Hagin was preaching the other day on redemptive realities. And I was sitting there and, you know, taking some notes and I had this come up on the inside. What side of the cross are you living on? Because Pastor talked about how that the old covenant was a promise. That in Isaiah 53, when Isaiah prophesied that, it was a promise of what was to happen. It was looking forward to the cross. But 1 Peter 2 is looking backward at the cross. It's not a promise now. It's a Bible truth or a Bible fact, ever how you want to describe it. But it's true. Which side of the cross, see? And I started thinking about it. What side of the cross am I living? Is God going to meet all my needs, or are all my needs met? Is God going to heal my body, or am I healed in the name of Jesus? Amen. Is God going to give me peace, or do I have peace? Is God going to redeem me, or am I redeemed? Is God going to deliver me, or am I already delivered? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But I go to the Word of God, not just still, but I look in the new and I see what God has done. And it starts to put that image on the inside of me. Romans 15, 13 says, now the God of hope, the God of hope, fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. I don't know about you. Now, some of you in here, when I talk about this, you weren't even born when these things took place. Excuse me. But I remember when Brother Hagin started having Holy Ghost meetings. He said there's a move of God that's going to be lost if we don't teach it and demonstrate it. But you know what? When you went to those meetings, and we still have some, you know, we have some of them here at camp meeting sometimes. You don't orchestrate those. It's just what God. But God told him to specifically do it. But one thing, look back on it, think on it. Those of you that were there in the mid to late 90s, you were there in those meetings. Think about it. When you left and during the middle of those meetings, when you're in the midst of it, there's hope. There's joy. There's grace. It's almost impossible not to believe. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Joy and peace in believing. Joy and peace in believing. Hallelujah. Joy and peace in believing. If you stand up and shout, I'll quit preaching. Joy and peace in believing. Glory to God. Joy and peace. Joy and peace. Joy. Joy and peace. Joy and peace. Joy. Joy and peace. We've got joy and peace in believing. He's the God of all hope. The God of hope will fill us. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Say it, I'm filled. I'm filled with joy. I'm filled with peace. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Through the power, the power, the power of the mighty Holy Ghost. Greater is He. Greater is He. Greater is He. Greater is the hope that's in us than the despair that's in the world. Greater's the joy that's in us, hallelujah, than the depression that's in the world. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Greater's the peace that's in us than all the worry, all the anxiety, all of it. The greater one's on the inside of us. And we've got hope, glory to God. We've got hope, hallelujah. Hallelujah. You got something?
You have given me a joy that won't stop and will never leave. So I will praise you with gladness. For you are God. You have given me. You have given me a joy that won't stop and will never leave. So I will praise you with gladness. For You turn my sadness into gladness. You turn my sorrow into joy.
Yes, you did.
And now I'm singing and I'm dancing and I will shout for joy. You turn my sadness into gladness. You turn my sorrow into joy. And now I'm singing and I'm dancing and I will shout for joy.
Hallelujah. Well, go ahead and shout for joy one more time. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Listen, if you're here tonight and you don't have this joy, you've never met Jesus. Amen. The promise has been fulfilled. It is a truth. Jesus came. He died on the cross. He bore the sin that separated us from God. And it's available. That new life is available for you tonight. If you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and tonight you want to do that, I want to pray for you, but I want you to raise your hand so I know to pray for you. You're here tonight and you don't know Jesus. I don't know everybody that's here. So looking around, just ask your neighbor right now if they know Jesus. Just ask them. Amen. Everybody in here? All right, if you're not in heaven, it's not my fault. Amen. Now listen, if you need prayer for anything, come down, ladies, to the ladies, men to the men. All right? Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Just praise Him. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what the outside. It doesn't matter what's going on. It doesn't matter what they tell you down at the job. It doesn't matter what they tell you over there. It doesn't matter what the news tells us. It doesn't matter what they say. God's word is going to be true, and it's going to come to pass in our lives. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Woo, hallelujah. So I don't understand all that jumping, shouting. We'll just get in sometime and you'll understand it. It passes all understanding. Amen. Hey, don't forget, tomorrow's the holiday. So nobody will be here on campus. Other than if you have an emergency, call the emergency number. It's in your bulletin. All right. But, you know, all hangnails, cats in the trees, all that kind of stuff. That's Pastor Zach. All right. Call him. Rest of it, though. All right. Tell your neighbor that they're blessed and you can be dismissed. God bless you. We'll see you on Wednesday night. Our power.